Okay, it's 9 o'clock, and I think we have a lot to cover, so let's get started. Last two shiurim really were in-depth, looking at fundamentally the point of chashecha, the point that transitions between days of the week, and we also spent a little bit of time in the first shiur talking about two major opinions of Rishonim, as to when is Alot HaShachar in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel in the Middle East around either the spring or fall equinox. And that's basically all we covered in the first two shiurim. So rather than going in depth, this year we'll try to cover everything else, sort of everything about Zmanim al Regel Achas. And what we're going to do is go through the day from morning to night and stop for a few minutes at every important Zman, and talk about some of the major areas of dispute among poskim over the generations for every Zman. In the notes, you have some words about depression angles, which those of you who will get more interested can read that. I'll make reference to depression angles as they come up, and I'll explain what they are. But anyway, so starting with Alot HaShachar. Alot HaShachar basically is defined terms of when it is, as I mentioned, in the Gemara in Psachim. And what we have in the Gemara in Psachim is a clear definition. We do not have a clear definition of Alot HaShachar. In other words, all we know is that it's somehow related to the point when the sun enters Ovi HaRakia, the thickness of the firmament or the sky, whatever that might mean exactly. We do not, on the other hand, have, like we have in the Gemara Shabbos, Chashecha or three stars. We don't have an equivalent strong definition of when Alot HaShachar is. All we know from the Gemara in Psachim, is an approximation as to when it is. And the when is either 72 or 90 minutes before sunrise, and equivalently, say, Kala Kochavim, 72 or 90 minutes after sunset. The question then is, when is Alot HaShachar in other seasons of the year, and when is Alot HaShachar in other places other than the Middle East? And for this, there are really three opinions. Now, the first opinion, basically, and it's an opinion for which I have a significant amount of bias, so for those of you who don't agree with my bias, the other two opinions are held by many, many, many poskim, but I'm strongly in favor of the first opinion. First opinion basically says, look, in Eretz Yisrael, 72 or 90 minutes, I'm going to stop saying 72 or 90, let's just say 72, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, 72 minutes before sunrise, morning, there's a certain level of light that has already appeared, because the sun has not yet gotten, it's not visible, but the light of the sun is barely visible. And last time we mentioned, scientifically, that amount of light that's present 72 minutes before sunrise in Eretz Yisrael or Bavel around the spring or fall equinox is about 1/600th of the amount of light that's present at sunrise. So let's say, for argument's sake, that is Alot HaShachar. Then it would be relatively easy to say, anywhere else in the world, any day of the year, when the amount of light present equals 1/600th of the amount of light present at sunrise, so the amount of light coming from the sun, because it's beginning to move towards the horizon, equals what it does in Eretz Yisrael, or Bavel, or the Middle East, around the spring or fall equinox, we'll define that to be Alot HaShachar. And that definition makes a great deal of sense, because we don't have a formal definition of Alot HaShachar, but we get the strong impression, particularly if you learn Maseches Tamid, which is a whole Masechta about the Kohanim preparing in the very early morning in the Beit HaMikdash. You can look at a tshuva by Rabbi Moshe Feinstein trying to argue on behalf of 90 minutes over 72 as a basis for a Etter B'Shas HaDchak. He very strongly learns the entire Maseches Tamid in order to demonstrate when Alot HaShachar is. There are not a lot of sources for Alot HaShachar, but let's assume for argument's sake that we take that definition. Okay, I'm sorry. I think I'm back now. So if we take that definition, then the complexity with that definition is how would anybody ever know that the amount of light whoever is moving my whoever is doing whatever they're doing is I think I don't know if it's interfering with everybody's sound. But it's okay. Anyways, so the problem with that definition is how would you know? In other words, how would you be able to say that in London on November 22nd in the morning, the amount of light, say 94 minutes before sunrise, equals the level of light that's in Eretz Yisrael 72 minutes before sunrise around the spring equinox? How would you ever be able to say that? It would be very difficult, certainly in ancient times, to even have an approximation for that. So of course, what Chazal did for that reason is they created a later Zmanim. And if you look in various places, the most famous of one we'll talk about in a few minutes is Mishayakir, a point at which there is much more light than there is in Alot HaShachar, where you're able to recognize a friend before Amot, or you can tell the difference between a variety of colors. So Chazal created points after Alot HaShachar that now become universally available. And all of this tends to give you the impression that Alot HaShachar is really a point where there is some relatively minuscule amount of light, and then we know when Alot HaShachar is around the world by judging that amount of light is present in a particular place. Now, in the modern day, starting about 150 years ago, the Netziv, for sure, Rav David Zvi Hoffman, became aware of a scientific notion called a depression angle. A depression angle basically tells you how far below the horizon the sun happens to appear at a particular moment in time. And what the scientists tell us is that if two depression angles are equal, then the amount of light from the sun is equal. So now, with this little piece of science, we now can define Alot HaShachar, as many calendars do, very, very precisely. What we say now is, okay, 72 minutes before sunrise in Eretz Yisrael, in the spring and fall, is a depression angle of 16.1 degrees. Whenever you have a depression angle of 16.1 degrees, you know it's Alot HaShachar. And this has become an extremely popular method for determining Alot HaShachar, particularly in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, my suspicion is that among almost the entire religious spectrum, from Dati Lumi to Haredi to whomever, the notion of depression angles as a fundamental notion in Pesach for Alot HaShachar has been established for probably well over 100 years. So that's one way to talk about when Alot HaShachar is, in terms of this notion of depression angles. However, if you look in the Halacha, you'll find two other methods. One is severely in error. The term that you will occasionally hear, you will hear that the length of the period from Alot HaShachar till sunrise, Hanetzachama, that period of length is proportional to the length of the day. So people know that the length of Alot HaShachar, the length of time between Alot HaShachar and sunrise is not fixed, but they assume that the length of that length of time is not correlated with something called the depression angle. It's correlated directly to the length of the day. So that, say, a day in Eretz Yisrael would be 14 hours long, and a 14-hour day, 840 minutes, Alot HaShachar would not be 72 minutes before sunrise, it would be 84 minutes. Similarly, in the winter, you have a 10-hour day in Eretz Yisrael, you have 600 minutes, Alot HaShachar would only be 60 minutes before sunrise. This notion goes back, I believe, at least to the 17th century. And you will see it in many svarim, ad hayom hazeh, and unfortunately, it's absolutely false. Observation, if you go out and you take a look and see, can you see more 72 minutes before sunrise, December 21st, or April, or March 21st, you will notice that in the winter, as paradoxical as it seems, the amount of light present, the same number of minutes before sunrise, for even in Eretz Yisrael, certainly in other parts of the world as well, is not correlated to the length of the day. For those of you who want the intuitive sense, the most difficult point for the sun to be visible over the horizon is when the sun is behind the equator, which happens around the spring and fall equinox. So around March 21st and September 21st, the sun appears effectively behind the equator, and hence it has the greatest difficulty of providing light over the horizon. In the summer, the sun moves north. It's no longer over the fattest part of the earth. And when it's no longer over the fattest part of the earth, then the light of the sun becomes apparent a little earlier. When the sun is south of the equator, say, now I'm thinking of us in the northern hemisphere. I notice somebody is on for Buenos Aires, for whom this is exactly backwards. But when the sun is south of the equator, even though it's further from us, its light becomes more apparent earlier because it's over a thinner part of the earth. It's not behind the equator. Now, there's a second impact. There's a second impact, which is how far north of the equator you are. So in order to really, you know, calculate using depression angles, it's non-trivial. It's spherical trigonometry. The formula, if you want them, are in Professor Levy's book. But nonetheless, depression angles are a very accurate method. This idea that it's proportional to the length of the day is absolutely false. The third thing that you will hear, and this is now much more sensitive, because this is still, again, to this day, strongly supported by many poskim, is that Alot HaShachar is fixed 72 minutes before sunrise. So Alot HaShachar, no matter where you are, New York, Eretz Yisrael, Toronto, Helsinki, Alot HaShachar is 72 minutes before sunrise. The problem with this point of view, obviously, is that if you're in London tomorrow morning, 72 minutes before sunrise, you will, not just is it Alot HaShachar, but 72 minutes before sunrise tomorrow morning, you will notice not just your friends at 4 Amos, you will notice people walking in the street at 4 Amos. So the point is that this is somewhat contradicted by reality. In my mind, more fundamental than it's contradicted by reality is the fact that this is taking an approximation, a time-based approximation, and turning it into the basis of halakha. And having said all that, you will find this point of view strongly argued, particularly in North America, for reasons I can't quite explain. In Eretz Yisrael, you do not find a strong adherence to this point of view. Among North American poskim, you will find this point of view much more prominently, that Alot HaShachar is a fixed 72 minutes. We can go into why that is. It's somewhat correlated to the fact that many people, not just as Alot HaShachar 72 minutes before sunrise, but in that same group, they tend to also declare the end of Shabbos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, to be a fixed 72 minutes. So 72 minutes is both the point of Hashecha and the point of Alot HaShachar. It's Hashecha 72 minutes after sunset, and it's Alot HaShachar 72 minutes before sunrise. And that is a very prominently held position among many, many people in North America. Ari asks, is easy to calculate approximations accepted as halacha? Why is it surprising? The reason it's surprising is that Alot HaShachar in Tik Prague, I was there, in around the summer, at least around the summer, Alota Shachar in Prague is almost 3 hours before sunrise. So 72 minutes is a very poor approximation to 3 hours. So Alota Shachar is 72 minutes is a real problem. The reason it happened that way, again, this is now conjecture. This is, let me go off, you know, actually off the recording, but seriously, this is conjecture. The conjecture is this has to do with the fundamental position of Rabbeinu Tam, that Chashecha, the end of Shabbos, and Alot HaShachar are bookends on both sides of sunrise and sunset. And as a result, when it came to Chashecha, no one really had a reason to ever wait much longer than 72 minutes. Most Jews, before they lived in places like Helsinki and St. Petersburg, before they lived in places like Helsinki and St. Petersburg, I'll get to that in a second, Rabbi Shapiro. Before they lived in places like Helsinki and St. Petersburg, they really had no reason ever to wait more than 72 minutes for the end of Shabbos. Correspondingly, since Alot HaShachar was equivalent in length before sunrise, that Chashecha was after sunset, people began to take that halachic principle of Rabbeinu Tam and it influenced what they saw. So they saw it was somewhat light out. It was not that light. So they said maybe Alot HaShachar is yet later because they had the principle of Rabbeinu Tam to contend with. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, this is a position, if I were to be, you know, harsh, I would claim that it came about as a result of the introduction of clocks, and people became enamored with the precision of clocks, and people anachronistically read a clock-based Zman into a Gemara. I dare say you'd have a very hard time reading most of the sugyot that relate to Alot HaShachar and argue that the definition of Alot HaShachar, not the approximation to Alot HaShachar, but the definition of Alot HaShachar is 72 minutes. The first Truma Sadeshen relates to a different problem, which we will go into when we get to Plaga Mincha. The first Shuvah in the Truma Sadeshen is one of the most intriguing Shuvot about, he reported the fact that the Rabbanim of a very chashuv community on the Danube used to, after their Shabbos meal, would still take a stroll on the Danube, and the sun had not yet set. So, which would imply that they davened and ate well before sunset. And the question would be, how could that be? That's really not entirely related to this question. When we talk about Plaga Mincha, we'll talk about it. But it is clear, I happen to believe, that the Truma Sadeshen did not use a fixed 72 or 90 minutes or anything when he calculated Alot HaShachar and says a Kochavim. He waited significantly longer than that. But that's a different problem. Okay, so much for Alot HaShachar. Three points of view, depression angles, proportional to the length of the day, a fixed number. Now, I mentioned the next Zman. There are many other Zmanim in between Alot HaShachar and Hanetzach Hama. There was a person by the name of Elia Kaplan. He was perhaps in a place that produced many geniuses. He was probably the greatest genius in the Slabodka Yeshiva in the second decade of the 19th century, a time when Rav Aaron Kotler and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky were all there. He died at the age of 34. At the age of 28 or 29, he became the Rosh Yeshiva following Rav David Zvi Hoffman in Hildesheim. Which for a student from Slabodka to become the Rosh Yeshiva in his 20s in Hildesheimer was quite an accomplishment. And he was one of the things he did is he was going to write on his own what we now know as Encyclopedia Talmudis. And he didn't get very far. He died at the age of 34. He was named for his father, who also died at the age of 33, unfortunately. And his father also was referred to by Rabbi Chaim Brisker as the greatest genius he ever met. But anyway, probably genius ran in the family, but not longevity. He wrote one of the few things he wrote before he died was a very, very long piece on all the Zmanim between Alot HaShachar and HaNetzach Hamah. But we'll skip all of them. The only one we'll talk about is the one that we talk about often in Halacha, which is Mishiyakir. And Mishiyakir is very controversial. Some people think of Mishiyakir as an actual Zman. Most people think of Mishiyakir as a Harchaka. What you'll find as well is that Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, when he was so in love with depression angles, now that he said we have these depression angles, maybe we don't need Mishiyakir anymore. Now we know exactly what Alot HaShachar is. We can define Alot HaShachar scientifically with a depression angle. Now we don't have to, and he actually meant that lahalacha, that if you don't need to be machmir for Mishiyakir if for whatever reason you need to be makil because of the fact that the depression angles exist. The interesting thing, I won't spend a lot of time on Mishiyakir. If you look at all of the various poskim and the various opinions on Mishiyakir, you will notice something rather interesting. You will notice that most of the Middle Eastern poskim, even people from Lita who ended up in the Middle East in the 19th century, Rav Diskin, Rav Salant, in addition to all the Sephardi poskim, they tend to have a relatively early Mishiyakir. In other words, if you ask them when Mishiyakir is in terms of depression angles, they tend to come back to something around 11.2, 11.5, up to 5 or 6 degrees. So that's the bigger the number, the closer you are to Alot HaShachar. On the other hand, Ashkenazi poskim tend to, the largest number I've seen from an Ashkenazi posek equates to around 11.5 degrees, and it goes all the way down to about 10.2 degrees, which you'll see occasionally in calendars today. The reasons for that should be obvious. It's not because the poskim in Europe were being more machmir. It's because the poskim in Europe had a late point of Alot HaShachar. And since Mishiyakir has to happen after Alot HaShachar, their point of Mishiyakir got pushed closer to sunrise. So I, for my own bias, I tend to believe strongly the poskim in the Middle East, who often had a very accurate sense of Alot HaShachar, and as a result, tended to be slightly more makil with respect to Mishiyakir. Okay, the next Zman is HaNetzach Hamah. Not the most, from our perspective, it's obviously an important Zman. Thank you very much. For many things, HaNetzach Hamah is the preferred time for many mitzvot. You all know about davening Vosikin and all of the rest. HaNetzach Hamah is defined as the sun begins to come over the horizon. So the whole ball of the sun does not have to appear, only the beginning, which tells you any d'oraisas. No, I don't. I think it is absolutely, for every mitzvah, as far as I know, I once heard this from the Rav, said very, very categorically, that for every mitzvah, Alot HaShachar is the Zman. There are chumras that go beyond Alot HaShachar, but Alot HaShachar is, for all mitzvot, mila, Kiyah Shofar, Tefillah, and everything else, Alot HaShachar is the Zman. So the other thing I noted is that you always hear the term Netzach Hamah. Netz, as far as I know, is a bird. Hanetz is the first appearance of the sun. So that's HaNetzach Hamah. It's obviously an important Zman for Tefillot. It's an important Zman for various, the Chazal often told us, for various tefillot to wait until HaNetzach Hamah. Okay. The next big machlokas, which we're going to do literally no justice to, is what most of you know as the machlokas between the Gra and the Magen Avraham. How do you count the Shoas Hayom? Now, the Shoas Hayom, first of all, people have to have been worried about Shoas Hayom before the Gra and the Magen Avraham. The Gra living in the end of the 18th century, the Magen Avraham living in the middle of the 17th century. If you go back to a contemporary of the Magen Avraham, we mentioned last time of Avraham Pimentel, he refers to this machlokes as between the Levush having the position of the Gaon. Levush lived roughly 200 years before the Gaon, and he refers to the Sefer of David Shapiro, mentioned the Truma Sedeshra, the Israel line, as having the position of the Magen Avraham. So he refers to this as a machlokes between the Trumat Hadeshen and the Levush. It is also very clear that the position of the Magen Avraham was held by all Chachmei Svarad. In other words, the Ramban and his entire school, L'dorei Doros, you know, four Gedolim, one following the other, all held the position of the Magen Avraham, which is very surprising because many of you know that in many circles, we are people who are very choshesh and like lots and lots of chumras, you very rarely hear people being choshesh for the sheet of the Magen Avraham. But for whatever reason, in Eretz Yisrael, by the way, in the 19th century, in the 20th century, the calendar of Yerushalayim is based on the Shita of the Magen Avraham. Despite the fact that in the 19th century, the major people coming to Eretz Yisrael were Talmidei Hagra, in Eretz Yisrael, the Shita of the Magen Avraham is extremely accepted. Again, we can get into a very interesting historical discussion as to why all of this happened this way. One would not be entirely off base conjecturing why in one part of the world people tended to paskin like the Magen Avraham, in other parts of the world people tended to paskin like the Gra. Interestingly, one of the big fights is the position of the Rambam. Most of us meaning those us trained in American yeshivot based on European yeshivot, align the Rambam with the position of the Gra. Many Svardi poskim, difficult as the language of the Rambam, I think the language of the Rambam clearly indicates that. They believe that the Rambam also held like the Magen Avraham. This is a very long-standing machlokas. The one thing I'll tell you is the Gra calculation is simple. Sunrise, sunset, you know, the Halacha and the New York Times both report roughly the same thing. We know how to calculate according to the You know how to calculate according to the Gra. Calculating according to the Magen Avraham is one very complicated issue because you just heard three ways of calculating Alot HaShachar: depression angles, proportional to the length of the day, a fixed number, and then of course times two. We can do that for 72. We can do it for 90. So we already have six ways to start the calculation of the Magen Avraham. It turns out, as we will see going on, you would think that for each of those six ways, there's an equivalent point in the evening that we calculate the cheshbon of the Magen Avraham to. So you would think that we're only left with six. But don't be disappointed. Within halacha, with actual practiced halacha by Gedolei Yisrael over the last 200 years, there are probably another dozen methods of calculating the shita of the Magen Avraham. So not just is the Magen Avraham not normally followed, but the Magen Avraham as well, in addition to not being normally followed, has a significant number of other ways of calculation. I'll mention some of those as we go. Okay, the next major Zman we know is Sof Zman Kriya Shema. And again, what you normally see when you see Sof Zman Kriya Shema is the Zman of the Gra, and you typically will see what is referred to as Magen Avraham Kinohok, the method of the Magen Avraham as practice. And what does that mean? As practice, unfortunately, means 72 minutes before sunrise is the beginning of the Magen Avraham, 72 minutes after sunset is the end of the Magen Avraham. If that's the case, the Magen Avraham adds 72 minutes, starts the day 72 minutes earlier. So after half of the morning, after 3 hours, he is still 36 minutes ahead of the Vilner Gaon. So when you look at a calendar, you will see, like clockwork, whatever Zman calculates for the Vilna Gaon, the Zman given for the Magen Avraham is 36 minutes earlier. And that is one of the methods of calculating the Shita of the Magen Avraham. Obviously, there are many others. But that's the third hour. Clearly, if you calculate with depression angles, or you calculate with 90 minutes, you're going to get much more of a chumra in the calculation of the Magen Avraham. So, whatever it's worth, I won't opine on 72 versus 90. To be very honest, I continue to confuse myself as to what I really believe. Depending on the day of the week or whatever, I can argue strongly in both directions. But I argue very strongly that we should be using depression angles versus fixed 72-minute zmanim in terms of calculation. Then you come to the other zman, the fourth hour of the day. I mentioned that because it's a very interesting zman. It's the fourth hour. The fourth hour is sof zman tfila, but also the fourth hour, interestingly, comes up one other day of the year when everybody seems to really get interested, which is on Erev Pesach, because the fourth hour is sof zman achila. You have to stop eating 2 hours before chatzos, which becomes the fourth hour. And here you'll find an incredible diversity of opinion. So people who typically are not choshesh for the Magen Avraham, you look in the OU bulletin, they'll tell you the last time to eat according to the Gra, and wasting ink, they'll tell you for every city in the world, 24 minutes later, because now another 12 minutes, another hour has passed, so now the Magen Avraham is 24 minutes before the Gra. They list 24 minutes earlier, as opposed to putting a footnote, subtract 24. I always felt that if you want to be machmir, according to the Magen Avraham, you may as well be machmir using depression angles, and you may as well be machmir for 90 minutes. So if you want to stop eating chametz at the earliest possible time, use depression angles and use 90 degrees, because 90 degrees was certainly the opinion of the vast majority of Rishonim. And why not? If you want to be machmir like the Magen Avraham on Erev Pesach, at least go all the way and be machmir all the way to depression angles of 90 degrees. That typically will get you a good 20 minutes earlier to stop having your Twinkies. But okay, the other extreme is an incredible shaila also asked to the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen has four important shuvas on Zmanim. Also worth noting that we won't talk about it at all, his Talmud, the author of the Sefer Leket Yosher, is the first Rishon who ever referred to something that we refer to every moment of the day called a clock. So around the time of the Trumas Hadeshen, clocks became more prominent. And we see for the first time in the Sefer Leket Yosher, we see reference to a clock, which makes the Tshuvas of the Trumas Hadeshen extremely difficult to analyze, because we really occasionally do not know exactly what he meant. Again, it would be a very long digression just to talk about his four Tshuvas. But anyway, one of the most amusing Tshuvas was somebody asked the Trumas Hadeshen, and I'm going to tell you what I think the tshuva meant, even though this is extremely controversial. So I'm assuming the Trumas Hadeshen was calculating Alot HaShachar basically based on observation. So when there was a leap year, he lived, I believe, somewhere near Vienna. It was pretty far north. It was on the Danube. I think it was in Germany, but I don't remember exactly. And somebody asked him that it was already late in April, and Alot HaShachar was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And the end of the fourth hour, so figure it out. If Alot HaShachar, he's calculating like the Magen Avraham. So from 3 in the morning till 12 noon is 9 hours. So 2/3 of that, 4/6 of that, is 9 o'clock in the morning. So somebody asked him, do I have to stop eating chametz at 9 o'clock? Or can I wait until 10 o'clock, which is 2 hours before chatzos? And this is the famous Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch. The Trumas Hadeshen says, you know what, this is really not a zman like the third or fourth hour of the day. This is just a harchaka. So this is our first example of a clear example of a Rishon saying that something is not a zman that we calculate choice manios. This is just a harchaka. And he suggested that you can have chametz for another hour, until about 10 o'clock in the morning. So you have, with respect to Pesach, you have people really being machmir, who normally hold like the guy in holding like the Magen Avraham with a few chumers to boot. And you have the other end of the extreme, you have Rabbi Yisrael Israelin suggesting that since this is only a harchaka, not just don't you have to be machmer like the Magen Avraham, you don't need to be machmer like the guy, and you just wait 2 clock hours before chatzos. Okay. Next month after this is chatzos. Most people would assume, of all the things in the world that ought not be controversial, you would think that chatzos is the least controversial thing in the world. In fact, there's a beautiful, beautiful set of tshuvos in the Minchas Yitzchak. If any of you want to see what a real Gadol b'Yisrael struggles with the area of Zmanim, over two tshuvos, it's Chelek Dalet, if I'm not mistaken, around somewhere in the 50s, in Chelek Dalet, or maybe Chelek Gimel, he has a long set of tshuvos around about Plaga Mincha. But in those tshuvos, he discusses a lot of other things relative to Zmanim. And those of you know that he lived in Manchester, England. So he was familiar living very far north of Eretz Yisrael, and he eventually became the Dayan of the Eda HaChareda. So he lived in Eretz Yisrael. So he had a very interesting background trying to grapple with this area of Zmanim. He says something I believe, but I quote him because it's better to quote a Dayan of the Eda HaChareda than to quote me. He says that if anybody does not calculate Chatzos correctly, know that that's wrong. Chatzos must be when the sun is directly overhead. So he claims that Chatzos has to be when Chatzos is. However, if you look very carefully, you will find that there are many, many, many poskim who calculated Chatzos never late, always early. So the most famous example was a previous head of the Eda HaChareda, in fact, probably the first head of the Eda HaChareda, was Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. There was a huge machlokas towards the last couple of years of the life of Reb Shmuel Salant with Reb Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, instigated by Reb Salant's granddaughter, married Reb Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky, and he took after the Zmanim of Yerushalayim, and he was very upset that they were miscalculating Chatzos. How were they calculating? They were calculating like the Magen Avraham, and they calculated from Alot HaShachar until the point when they ended Shabbos. So let's say, for argument's sake, they happened to wait. Thank you. Thank you, Mel. So they calculated from Alot HaShachar, which in their case was 90-plus minutes before sunrise, until about 40 or 42 minutes after sunset, which is when they kept Shabbos. So if you calculate, if you'd like, you can, you know, quote-unquote, blame the Rabbeinu Tam, pardon for the expression. If you start the day 90 minutes before sunrise, and you end the day 42 minutes or even 45 minutes after sunset, what you're going to have is you're going to have an unequal day. So what's going to happen is sunrise, so Chatzos will happen early. This was not just the issue in Yerushalayim, and they changed this, I think a few years before Rav Salant died, that they changed the calendar in Yerushalayim with a lot of fanfare and a lot of fighting. But nonetheless, they had this, this was Minag Yerushalayim, to have Chatzos early. Rav Nosson Adler, if anyone is on from Zurich, to this very day, the community in Zurich follows Psaka Rav Nosson Adler that Chatzos is some number of minutes early, undoubtedly the same calculation, from Alot HaShachar to some point too early, not the equivalent of Alot HaShachar after sunset, but early. If you want to keep going, I will. Rav Moshe Feinstein, one of his most enigmatic claims is that you don't need to calculate Chatzos. Rav Moshe says that Chatzos is always the same time. In other words, if I know that Chatzos tomorrow is 12:04, then I don't have to worry about any other day of the year. I know that in New York, all the time, Chatzos is 12:04. So once you determine the point of Chatzos for a particular location, that point is fixed. Now, unfortunately, that's not correct. There's a question. We won't get to that. So there is an effort to argue that maybe Chatzos doesn't have to be accurate. But let's assume, for argument's sake, Chatzos probably had. You know, if it's always biased in a particular direction, Reb Moshe actually is not biased in any direction. He says you never have to calculate. It's always the same time every day. Interestingly, also related to this, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So now you have the two greatest poskim of the second half of the 20th century with respect to how late you can how early you have to have the Afikoman. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a very interesting psak, which moves Chatzos HaLaila early. And again, Chatzos HaLaila is exactly 12 hours after Chatzos HaYom. So Chatzos, for reasons we will not get into at all, has been an extremely controversial area over the last few hundred years. And even though most of us today assume that the Magen Avraham's calculation has to be equivalent at both ends, I believe strongly that there is basis for all of these great poskim had a somewhat different idea. Now, whether they executed the idea correctly in the 19th century, we could argue about that. But I strongly believe that there was a different method of calculation for the Magen Avraham than the six we started with, something we won't go into. But it's very hard to believe, when you see Gedolei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael and in Europe, a diverse set of Gedolei Yisrael, all tending to do something which is very surprising, it's altogether too easy to attribute that to, it's the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam Shita is to be discarded. The problem is that they were doing it in Eretz Yisrael. They were doing it in places in Europe where they were following the Gaon in terms of evening. So the issue, in my mind, is a great deal more complicated. Yosef asks, Chatzot HaLaila and Chatzot HaYom are exactly 12 hours apart, not Zmanios. They're exactly 12 hours apart. If you sit down with the pencil and paper and you do the calculation, you will see that there's no Zmanios involved in terms of that. All right, so now that's Chatzot. It's an interesting area. We're not going to go further. Mincha Gedola, another interesting machlokas. It's probably perhaps the second area where there is a significant machlokas as to whether you have to wait a half hour's maniot or a half hour, which means in the winter you would wait less than a half hour. In the summer, you'd wait more than a half hour, according to the Gaon. And according to the Magen Avraham, you'd always be waiting more than a half hour since the day is longer, according to the Magen Avraham. It turns out, as luck has it, someone in shul last Friday night said they got into a fight, Erev Shabbos. They have a mincha minyan where this gentleman works, and they were going to daven, I think, about 27 or 28 minutes after the literal chatzos, and they got into an argument as to whether they have to wait a full 30 minutes. So again, it's an interesting area, not an area that we're going to cover. It would be the second area. We're at the case that you only wait a half hour. Thank you, somebody who's moving this thing up for me. Thank you very much. That will be the second example of something that is used only as a harchaka, and since it's only largely a harchaka, we don't really use mania, we use clock hours. Okay. Mincha Gedola is 3 hours after. That's Mincha Gedola. Mincha Ketana is 3 hours after Mincha Gedola. And we always count Mincha Ketana already. There's no machlokas. Mincha Ketana is 9.5 hours into the day, and that is always counted as manios. The reason Mincha Ketana is very important is not so much because of Mincha Ketana per se, there are various halachot. The most important use of Mincha Ketana is in calculating probably the most complex Zman of the day, which again we will have very little time to talk about, which is Plaga Mincha. Plaga Mincha is halfway between Mincha Ketana and the end of the day. So according to the way the Gaon calculates, it's easy. It's halfway between Mincha Ketana, 9.5 hours in the day, and sunset. So 9.5 hours a day is 2.5 hours before sunset. Half of 2.5 is an hour and a quarter. And hence the famous calculation that everybody knows, that Plaga Mincha is 1.25 shows maniot before sunset. And that's the calculation with respect to the Gaon. When it comes, however, to the Magen Avraham, Now you get all of the various options that we had for Alot HaShachar. So you have the 72-minute option, you have the depression angle option, you have the option proportional to the length of the day. All of those will give you a, so to speak, symmetric option, i.e. an option where the number of minutes after sunset that you wait at the end of the day equals the number of minutes before sunrise that you declare Alot HaShachar. And those are most of the quote-unquote symmetric calculations of the Magen Avraham. If you try to use most of the calculations of the Magen Avraham in the Northern Hemisphere, certainly if you were in London or North, but even in New York City, you're going to run into all sorts of complexity. In various times of the day, the calculation of Plag HaMincha using almost any of those methods will end up with Plag HaMincha following Shkia. So that's a big problem. That's a very big problem, particularly if you use the depression angle calculations or if you go far enough north. So there is a undercurrent of opinion that wants to define Plag HaMincha differently. It wants to define Plag HaMincha not based on the end point of the Magen Avraham, 72 minutes or depression angles or way past sunset, but wants to define Plag HaMincha relative to the end of the halachic day of the week, i.e. Chashecha, three stars. Now, that opinion, again, people always associate with the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, that Chashecha and Alot HaShachar are equidistant from sunrise and sunset. Assuming for a moment that we reject that opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, I would argue that there is still significant basis to use Chashecha as opposed to other endpoints in the calculation of Plag HaMincha. Now, if you do that, you're going to run into all these issues around Chatzos, which many, many great Gedolei HaPoskim ran into. So the question in my mind is, if you believe, like the Minchas Yitzchak, as I believe, that Chatzos has to be calculated accurately, and you believe that there are other options for Plag HaMincha, you get into a very, very deep esoteric area of Zmanim, which I believe is one of the most interesting, which is other ways of calculating Plag HaMincha. My own view is that the Magen Avraham did not calculate Plag HaMincha like most of us do in his name. There was a sefer recently by a great grandson of Arya Levin, his name is Burstein, where he argued that the Magen Avraham did not calculate according to the Magen Avraham. And I believe that he may be correct. But what he meant was that the Magen Avraham did not calculate according to any of the six methods that we outlined before. I have a very strong suspicion that there are yet other ways of calculation well beyond what we're going to talk about. But be aware of the fact that Plag HaMincha, we all just use the Vilna Gaon, because the sheet of the Magen Avraham relative to Plag HaMincha, particularly when you go, I don't know if the problem exists already in Toronto, but I know in London it is a real problem trying to calculate Plag HaMincha according to the Magen Avraham, unless you begin to utilize significantly other methods. Okay, Shkia. Shkia is the end of, the beginning of Bein HaShemashos as practiced by everybody. Many of you probably know that I believe that Shkia precisely is not necessarily the halachic beginning of Bein HaShemashos. My suspicion is Lemigra Milsa, the Vilna Gaon, very much was so opposed to the fact that Jews were starting Shabbos a half hour later after Shkia that the Gra pulled all the way back to Shkia. I mentioned to you Reb Chaim Voloshin says that Bein HaShemashos starts at least 6 minutes after sunset. This is a very academic topic. I chas v'shalom don't want anyone to go out and do work this coming Shabbos after Bein HaShemashos, but realize that this is an extremely important area in terms of halacha, and there is a wide body of opinion, again, practiced in Eretz Yisrael predominantly in the 19th century, and practiced by a number of poskim into the 20th century. For different reasons, Rav Moshe says that up to 9 minutes, Rav Moshe had a calculation that you can do a bris up to 9 minutes after Shkia. No, that's heavily disputed. He seems to have written it, so it would appear in writing. But nonetheless, Shkia is Shkia. So, you know, in, under extenuating circumstances, consult with your local posek. Then we get to Ben Hashmashos, which we spent a lot of time talking about the last 2 weeks. I'll summarize it again two ways. Some one thing we neither of which we mentioned. Now if we, that we have depression angles, one way to define Ben Hashmashos is the point between two depression angles. So if sunset is one beginning, it's one is zero, and the other depression angle, based on the Gemara, three stars, is about six and a half degree depression angle. So that's one way of defining Ben Hashmashos. If you believe what I was arguing, that Ben Hashmashos starts a little bit after sunset, maybe it's 2.5 degrees to 6.5 degrees, in some period between a pair of depression angles. The other way, which you'll find Ben Hashmashos defined, you'll find this in many poskim. The most famous place you'll find it is in the famous tshuva of the Chassam Sofer about the baby born 27 minutes after Shkia, where the Chassam Sofer allowed a bris for a baby born 27 minutes after Shkia. He uses a different method of calculation. The Nesivis in Derech HaChaim uses the same method of calculation, and it does not vary the length of Ben Hashmashos. It treats Ben Hashmashos the way Rav Yisrael Israelite treated 2 hours, the way some people treat a half hour. It basically treats it as a maximum. So the maximum length of Ben Hashmashos is the time to walk 3/4 mil. Now, in the case of the Chassam Sofer was 110% convinced that the Shulchan Aruch was incorrect. He insisted that the time to walk a mil is 22.5 minutes. That was a very strong point of view of the Chassam Sofer. So as a result, he argued that as long as the baby is born more than 18 minutes before the end of Shabbos, the bris can be that Shabbos. That itself is a very, very difficult tshuva we won't go into, but basically you have two methods of calculating Ben Hashmashos in Biyomeinu. You either calculate the point between depression angles, and what happens if you do that, as you move further north, the length of Ben Hashmashos continues to increase. On the other hand, if you calculate by subtracting, then the length of Ben Hashmashos has a fixed maximum. Either 13.5 minutes or 18 minutes if you hold 24 minutes. And that's another way of calculating Ben Hashmashos. And again, B'makom Tzarach Gadol, there are poskim who rely on this subtraction from Hashecha. Now, I'll mention one important thing. When you subtract from Hashecha, God forbid, don't subtract from when we end Shabbos. You have to subtract from what the Gemara called Hashecha, which the Gemara said is what we would call in our star language, three medium stars, not three small stars. You subtract from three small stars, you're really going to get very, very, very close to the period of Safek Hashecha. So if you have an idea in your head of when Hashecha is, when three medium stars is, I don't really know what that number is, but I'm going to guess it's somewhere around 6 degree depression angle. We tend to wait 8.5 degrees for the end of Shabbos. Then you can subtract, and under really, really, really extenuating circumstances, I have heard of poskim willing to subtract from an early point of Hashecha to get to the very latest point of Ben Hashmashos. I personally like that point of view, because if you adopt that point of view, all what Jews did in Europe from the time of the Rabbeinu Tam until the 20th century, where they started Shabbos after sunset, that saves the majority of them. Because it is highly unlikely that many people worked more than 13.5 minutes before the appearance of stars. So that's just another way to compute Ben Hashmashos. You can think of it as a way to somehow justify Minhag Yisrael over the generations, and it could be used, whatever. Then you have the point of Hashecha and Safek Hashecha. One of the, again, esoteric topics is that the point of Hashecha, Safek Hashecha, and the point of Ben Hashmashos are not the same. Even though probably among most poskim, again, largely the legacy of the Rabbeinu Tam, there was very little physical way of determining what's Safek Hashecha and what's the beginning of Ben Hashmashos. of the two notions tended to be to have been fused in halacha. But the notion of Safek Hashecha clearly is both before and after Hashecha. Bein Hashmashos typically is some number of minutes earlier than Safek Hashecha, going all the way back, more than whatever interval you think of Safek Hashecha. Then we get to almost the last issue, three small stars. For a variety of reasons, based perhaps on a Yerushalmi, certainly based on the fact that that for the longest of time, living in Northern Europe, people really did not have a very good sense, and even people living in Eretz Yisrael did not have 100% certainty of what Hichziv Elyon, Hishvul Tachton, Pei Mizrach Vadimim, three medium stars, what's a medium star, what's a small star. So over the period of time, people would naturally, because of the chumrah of an Isser Jiraisa of Shabbos, we moved from three medium stars, which is Dino de Gemara, to our practice, which is three small stars. And most of us today, even though the people who write calendars have a tendency to write things like three small stars, everybody, as far as I know, who produces a calendar, uses the calculations of Rabbi Shmuel Kaczynski and uses a depression angle of 8.5 degrees. As the end of Shabbos. And 8.5 degrees, I will tell you, is really a chumrah. It's a chumrah on three small stars. The reason many of us, myself included, feel queasy about 8.5 degrees and think we're getting away with something ending Shabbos that early is because we live in an era of excessive illumination and we can't see stars. One of the reasons I really like to look at Hichziv Elyon, Hishul Tachton, the sort of the sky-oriented the sky-oriented definitions in the Gemara, because they are entirely less sensitive to the level of light. So it's easier for me to be absolutely certain that Hichziv Elyon, Hishul Tachton, than to know anything about stars, because frankly, I could rarely see any stars, certainly not three stars in close to one another at a time that we end Shabbos. But we tend to end Shabbos at 72 minutes. Just so you realize that if you're in Vilna in the summer, if you were to wait for 8.5 degrees in Vilna in the summer, June 21st, you would be waiting significantly more than 72 minutes. If I'm not mistaken, it's closer to 95 minutes. So those of you, again, who think that our 8.5 degrees is somehow, a kula, realize that very, very few communities in Europe waited the equivalent of 8.5 degrees. I was in a shul in Hungary, the same Shabbos of the Chassam Sofer's famous tshuva, and I told the rabbi there that he was waiting 15 minutes longer than the Chassam Sofer for the end of Shabbos, and he looked at me like I had three heads, but I assure you that was accurate. But nonetheless, we wait 8.5 degrees. That's now the accepted Minhag Yisrael. Again, the Makom Tzarach, there's obviously reason be a little slightly more makel than that, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. And finally, the last siman is one that really appeared, I will argue, in the 20th century. It's the siman that we started this year with, so we'll end where we started, with the siman called Seis Kol HaKochavim. Seis Kol HaKochavim is the equivalent to Alot HaShachar in the evening. So take my definition for the time being, depression angle 16.1 degrees, 16.1 degrees after sunset, which, in New York, this time of year is about 85 or 86 minutes after sunset. Question is that a relevant halacha for anything? My reading of the Gaon in Arachayim is that he seems to imply that Seis Kol HaKochavim is a scientific notion, not a halachic one. I'm not sure I'm reading the Gaon correctly. And I've looked at other Perushim of the Gaon. Nobody picks up on his language, so I'm not sure. In the 20th century, presumably because of Brisk, people said, look, we started this year by talking about two definitions of day, the daytime period, and meaning when it's light out, and the day of the week. So the day of the week ends at Chashecha, three medium stars, Chashecha, small stars, 8.5 degrees, 6.5 degrees, whatever. What about this Zman of 16.1 degree depression angle? What is that? Does that Zman have any halachic import? And again, in the 20th century, there are a number of people, great Gedol Yisrael, all, you know, died in the wool brisker, who have tried to figure out chlachot that might depend on the daytime period, but not the day of the week. Three of the ones, well, I believe I've seen all of these, though my memory escaped me when I was writing them down. I was not sure who said what. But I believe that some of them come from Chaim Zimmerman. I believe maybe all of them come from Chaim Zimmerman. But anyway, here are some. There's a halacha that Binyan Beis HaMikdash has to be done during the day. Of course, Binyan Beis HaMikdash can happen any day of the week. So there is an opinion, and it's somewhat supported by the language in the Rambam, not strongly supported, but somewhat supported, that Binyan Beis HaMikdash can occur after Hashecha and can occur as far into the night as Alot HaShachar is in the morning. Because the Rambam is very clear that you can start Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Alot HaShachar. The other has to do with a Bezdin. We know that for certain halachos, Bezdin have to stop at sunset. For other halachos, they have to stop at Hashecha. There are those who argue that for other halachas, Bezdin has the right to, once they started a din, to complete a din after Hashecha, before it says Kol HaKachavim. There's also a whole Arichas about Avelus Drom Rishon. So there are some interesting theoretical conversation. Interestingly, I have never been able to find a single example of Tzeis Kol HaKachavim before the 20th century. So to the extent that this is just brilliant Torah courtesy of Brisk, the one practical use of Tzeis Kol HaKachavim was suggested by the Rebbe's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and when this will end, he said that, you know, look, Tosefet Shabbos, so can I start Shabbos when this year is over, Sunday night, and say I'm being very machmir, I want to start Shabbos Sunday night. Of course, you can't. So most people will argue that Tosefet Shabbos, again, the very first Shuvah in the Trumas HaDeshen, the Rabbi Shapiro mentioned, some people will argue Plaga Mincha is the earliest point at which you can do Tosefet Shabbos. Some argue earlier than that, you know, Mincha Ketana, but there is some point in Halacha that you can start Tosefet Shabbos. So some will argue that the end of Tosefet Shabbos, many argue that that point is Chatzot HaLaila. I heard in the name of Moshe Soloveitchik that Seis Kol HaKachavim is the end of the daytime period and is the end of Tosefet Shabbos. And with that, we'll stop. So that's basically the day from beginning to end. I hope, you know, you realize that we just did a few minutes per Zman. Each of these topics are worthy of a very, very long shiur. And if you read the many Svarim that touch on these topics, I hope the introduction will make them a little bit easier. Thank you. Any questions? I'll stay on for a long time. Whoa. I need to go back. There was a question about the Magen Avraham's opinion about that you're Yotze B'dieved if you daven Mincha after Chatzos. I do not really know whether that view of the Magen Avraham is related to his Machlokas with the Gaon. It's a very, very good question. I don't know. I would have to think about that. I don't know. My gut is it's not. I don't really see the connection between that. What is the shortest amount of time after sunset that anyone paskins in New York for the end of Shabbos? Now, Yisrael, you're going to get me into a lot of trouble. The earliest time I would use B'shas Tzorach, and ask a post. So what I've told people many times is I really don't want to paskin. The reason I want to paskin, I don't want to have to make judgment around what is a Tzorach. you know, is this a tzarach gadol? Is this a really overriding concern? I'll tell you a true story, and then which will help you. There was a person driving Erev Shabbos, and they were not going to make it by Shkia. And they were driving, and, you know, they called me and they said how much time do we have? So, given everything that was going on, I told them what the answer is. But I told them I got on the line a posek of that I trust, and I described the situation to him, and he said to them to drive well past the point that I told them. So, and again, I don't want to go into the situation because his judgment of the level of tzorech was such, so that was something I was not going to do. So I was quote unquote more machmir. To answer your question, what I would do if I would not go earlier. If you look on my zmanim, they have a time for ending a fast rabbanon according to Rabbi Chil Michal Tkachinsky. They'll give you the time according to Rabbi Moshe, and they give you the time according to Rabbi Chil Michal Tkachinsky, and it varies during the year. It is probably somewhere in the New York area, I believe, around the equinox, I believe, please don't, around 32 or 33 minutes, and in the summer, I believe it's around 36 or 38 minutes, but I really don't remember exactly. That is the earliest time that I think a posek under duress would tell you certainly to do melacha d'rabbanan. I don't know, you know, again, severe duress, ask a posek. But my gut is that what Rechim Michal Tkachinsky calculates as the, now again, the reason I strongly agree with that, not that that matters, is because I don't believe that Ben Hashmashos starts at sunset. So if Ben Hashmashos doesn't start at sunset, I have a natural inclination not to want to end Shabbos as early as some people claim that Shabbos ends way earlier than that, Megina de Gemara. So my view is Megina de Gemara, they're not necessarily correct. And I would really not want to be that makel with respect to the end of Shabbos, particularly because I believe strongly that the beginning of Shabbos is not sunset. So if I push the beginning by, I told you, 5 to 15 minutes, if you wanted my single number, it would be 8 to 12. It's not a single number, but that's as good as I can do. If you start Shabbos then, you really have to push Shabbos at the other end in Eretz Yisrael to 25 or 26 minutes, which means in New York it's going to end a few minutes later than that. But that's but again, ask a posek for that. Ari, I have written a book. It's on the Sfarim blog. If you go back to the Sfarim blog, it's about 200 pages on just on Ben Hashmashos. I am writing a very, very long essay on the Magen Avraham. It's up to about 70 pages. Nobody will ever read it. It's an attempt to look at some really in-depth the Magen Avraham and Rabbi Yisrael Israelein and how I believe they may have calculated the sheet of the Magen Avraham. I'll tell you, the issue is what you have to think about, and again, for many, many people, this is difficult to do. Think about a world without clocks and think about how they would have approximated. And if when you realize how they approximated, then you probably will figure out how they may have calculated. And I think a lot of our methods of calculation, particularly sundials, are not that useful after sunset. So if you're talking about the Gaon, I should mention that one of the reasons the Gaon, you know, said he's right is because hours naturally mean hours of the day, as defined by a sundial. So, in a certain sense, the Magen Avraham, it's really the daytime period is less problematic because of a sundial. But once you pass the daytime period and you work going to the evening, things get a little bit harder. So, that's a very esoteric topic to understand the calculation of. You're looking at the shadow. So as the day. Depends how you build your sundial. So there are all sorts of ways of adjusting sundials so that they can be, give you zmaniyot as well. So zmaniyot, the people talked about shoy zmaniyot. The Rambam talks about shoy zmaniyot. The first place where shoy zmaniyot comes up, by the way, it doesn't come up in the Gemara at all. It's not mentioned. There are sugyos in the Gemara. All the sugyos are in Minchas Kohen, brings down all the sugyos that are relevant to the machlokes, Trumas Hadeshen, and Levush on the hours of the day. But as far as I know, there is no direct proof from a sugya that considers the Magen Avraham versus the Gra as an A versus B machlokes. There are many sugyos that you can tell from the story whether they were more likely to paskin like the Gra and the Magen Avraham, and almost all of those sugyos strongly favor the Gra against the way the Magen Avraham is normally calculated. And the problem I have is that none of those kashas were asked against the Trumas Hadeshen. None of those kashas were asked until the 16th century with the invention of clocks. So I'm a little bit nervous that we understand exactly the methods of the Magen Avraham. But again, that's an esoteric topic. It's not really where we want to go. Ben HaShemashos, I feel much more comfortable about, basically because of the opportunity of preparing this year. I'm going to revise what I wrote, simplified in various places, but you've got 200 pages on Ben HaShemashos. There is some discussion. It's about 40 or 50 pages discussion of Shoaz Hayom, but not that thorough. The idea of the amount of time to light candles before is more based on minhag than din. And I really can't comment. The only thing that I really, really am interested in, I shouldn't say this is not interesting, Israel. The thing I'm interested in is the 40 minutes not in Yerushalayim. That has, because again, I'm, you know, that has a very, very long history, and I don't believe it's really been well explained. 18-20 minutes is just, you know, people want to be machmir. People want to start, you know, I don't know why one versus the other. I really have no idea. There are, you know, there are some who say they were trying to be Yotzei the Shita or Rebbezim Mitz. I don't really believe that, but you'll hear that as a reason for why people start. Why people wait 18 minutes. You know the famous story of Rav Moshe Feinstein used to drive in a car to the yeshiva during this period, and he was asked by an old woman who already had bench licht why the Rosh Yeshiva is going in a car after she already started Shabbos. And Rav Moshe took the advice and never drove again. And you know, drive so the Rav Moshe, you know, by the way, the Satmar Rebbe, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, drove to the Kotel during the 40-minute period that in Eretz Yisrael people tend to stop malacha 40 minutes before, and a rumor has it that they stoned his car because he drove, and in his quick-witted way, he said better they would add the 40 minutes on the other side of Shabbos. In other words, in Yerushalayim, they tend to end Shabbos around 30-some-odd minutes or 35 or 36 minutes after. So he very, very sharply said he would prefer they start Shabbos at Shkia and they end Shabbos 40 minutes later. But, you know, I think Yerushalayim may have more of a basis in din than our 18 to 20 minutes. But Minhag Yerushalayim is 40 before to whatever. Yes, people in glass houses. Yes, the story about the Satmar Rebbe is in a sefer which I read recently. There are a number of really interesting svarim on this topic by Hasidus Yeposkin, which are, you know, at they're really, because the Chassidish Poskim, they're the ones who more often than not hold the fixed 72 minutes. So if you want to see really strenuous defense of the fixed 72-minute point of view, you have to read the Svarim of, I think, Rabbi Yisrael Heffernis, who's a dying in the Sabbath community. I saw his Sefer, there's a recent Sefer by Brisk, Yisrael Vahazmanim, who wrote that? Who wrote Yisrael Vahazmanim? Yes. I borrowed the Sefer from, I won't mention who, the grandson of a very famous Rosh Hashiva had that Sefer of his grandfather, and he lent it to me. So I also, in addition to having the Sefer, I had all of the little napkins this famous Rosh Hashiva put into the Sefer, because they all happened to be in places where he argued very strongly for 72 minutes, and I've heard that he agreed with it. So it was interesting. I saw the Sefer. I find it amazing. His understanding of the science, I must tell you, was excellent. For those of you who think that that some of these folks are the best explanation of the science in terms of halacha is Chaim Beinish. Also, I believe a chassid. So anyway, the other, I don't know if our friends from Israel are on. I will probably send them an email where the reference to Minchas Kohen is. Are there any other questions? You're quite welcome. Does anyone take in Shabbos like that? The answer, supposedly, people have told me that somewhere hidden in Kiryat Yoel, there may be such people. I will tell you that this stuff bothers me no end. There was a paper by a math professor at Harvard, I believe his name is Shlomo Sternberg, and he argued, and I don't agree with him completely, but I think his basic point has some strong validity. He argued that really nobody followed Rabbeinu Tam until clocks came into invention. These people were too nervous. Once clocks came around, people got very brave because they were able to calculate and they were able to know time exactly. So as a result of that, they began to follow Rabbeinu Tam. I believe he's not correct, but I do believe his premise is correct, that as a result of clocks, people have gotten more aggressive in their use of Rabbeinu Tam. So if you imagine back in the 17th or 15th or in the 14th century, people may have started Shabbos a half hour late. By the time of the Baal HaTanya, the Baal HaTanya was complaining about people starting Shabbos well past that. What bothers me is people davening mincha. I don't know. I'm trying to see who's on. Somebody was on before. He's still on. An ophthalmologist in Kiryat Yoel is listening to us. He will tell you that people run out of his office 70 minutes after, sunset to daven mincha. So, it's an interesting, I think that's, pretty bad. I don't think that anybody has any right to daven mincha after chashecha. Even Friday night. Yes, they daven mincha. Yeah, but again, I don't think they do melacha. I don't think they do melacha. I really don't think. I know before the war, people worked well past a half hour. I don't have a good historical record, but my gut is that very, very few people worked much more than 35 or 40 minutes, which got really, really, really close to chashecha in Northern Europe. They came about as close as one would like to come to an issur d'oraisa. But from the tshuva, if people are asking the Chasam Sofer in 1803 about a bris 27 minutes after sunset, people were working late. People wouldn't think of doing a bris of a baby born Shabbos, by mincha time, 27 minutes after sunset. They did the bris on Shabbos. So in a certain sense, the same thing would have happened on Friday. They would have done the bris on Friday. So it's clear that people, and again, read the Baal HaTanya's letter, it's very clear, he said, tells people strong mocha up to a point, and after, you know, up to a point, let them mutoshi shogim vlotim azidim, but past a certain point, they have to be very, very strenuous, which means there must have been people. I don't think communities. I think most communities probably started, did not start Shabbos much more than a half hour after sunset, which I think is sort of okay if you take the smaller view of Bein HaShemashos. If you take the view of Bein HaShemashos between depression angles, 3.5 to 1.5 degrees, and whatever, then all of those communities were working in the Bein HaShemashos. If you subtract 13.5 or 16, 17 minutes from Chashecha, then in most European communities, these folks almost avoided, and interval of Bein HaShemashos, and I think they all avoided Suffolk Chashecha. So anyway, it's a troubling area because I think today. I suspect if we come back in 50 years, I think the Prussian angles will have taken hold, and I think that, I hope, that the remnants of the Rabbeinu Tam Shita Lekula will really have dissipated significantly. Okay. I think they do. I believe they round. I really don't know. I would hope they round. They should round to the next minute. And you should probably also, when you look at a calendar, add a minute or two in each direction because, you really don't know. To be fair, I don't really believe when the Gemara said the time to walk 3 mil, and people said 72 minutes and 90 minutes, I don't believe that you should rely on 72 or 90 minutes exactly. I would rely on depression angles, but even depression angles, I would add a couple of minutes for quote-unquote safety, because clearly Chazal were not defined, 72 minutes is not a zman. Alot HaShachar is a zman. A depression angle is a way of making something precise. It doesn't make it accurate. We really don't have an accurate judgment of whether Chazal are being I suspect that Alot HaShachar is after 72 minutes. In other words, 72 minutes, Alot HaShachar occurs before 72 or before 90. Probably Chazal were approximating conservatively. But where their approximation becomes a heter, like for example, eating early in the morning before Atonis, I'd be very nervous to use Chazal's approximations because I think they meant them as approximations. They did not mean them as something we should depend on as if they were writing in an era of clocks. They were just giving, I would assume, always conservative approximations. And where their approximations, if you take their approximation and turn it the other way, so Chazal were saying, all right, 72 minutes, you can be Yotzei Mitzvos D'Oraisa. Does that mean that 72 minutes before, you should be eating? No. It could very well be that Alot HaShachar was a few minutes earlier than that, and 72 was already an approximation that kept you on the closer side to sunrise of Alot HaShachar. So to use these zmanim very, very precisely, I think rounding by more than a few minutes is probably called for in a variety of situations. Okay. Thank you all very much. If you have any questions, feel free to email. Hopefully, if you ever study this area and you have any challenging remarks, I appreciate them all. So, good night.